Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. And Brother Barry, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? First John chapter 5 and verse 11. 1 John 5:11. And this is the record that God hath given to us what? Eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? Know that ye have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Well, we run into so many people when asked, you know, do you know for sure where you're going to go when you die? Or do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? A question along those lines. And so many people say, how can anyone know that for sure? So many people say, I don't think anyone can know that for sure until they stand before God. So as we search for answers, what do we say to people that say that? And there's multitudes that say it. They say no one can really know for sure. How do we answer? What is their problem? Well, as I've pondered that and meditated on it, I think a huge problem they have is that they know their bill isn't paid. And a lot of those people, so we're talking about their sin bill, and a lot of those people actually don't even know they have a bill. It seems like more and more we are getting bills, medical bills that we didn't even know we had. You know, you go to the doctor and they might say, well, there's a certain copay. And then in the mail, you get a bill and it's like, where did this come from? What is it for? I didn't even know I had this bill. This bill, it was due last month. You've added $5 to it because I didn't pay it. I didn't even know I had this bill. The uncertainty of it. How can you say that your cell phone is yours? Well, one reason is if you paid for it. Well, it's mine. I know it's mine. Why? Well, I paid for it. Other people would say, well, I know it's mine at least temporarily, but you see, and then they'll talk about their phone plan. You know, well, I got this phone, you know, if I signed up for 2 years with this company or that company. And so, you know, if I don't stick with it, does that mean it has to go back? I just saw on a sign recently, $800 off from a certain iPhone. Think back with me, not too many years. Could you imagine phones would ever cost $800? Let alone that's how much is off that phone. So what does it really cost? Who would have ever dreamed that thing? So how do you know your cell phone is yours? Well, you know it's yours if you paid for it. There might be some stipulations where you would say, well, it's mine at least temporarily, unless, you know, this contract ends early or whatever, if I have to give it back. How can you say your house is yours? Well, I paid for it. But what if there's a mortgage on it? Well, it's my house unless something happens and I can't finish paying for it, but it's at least my house temporarily because of the bill. How can you say your car is yours? Well, I paid for it. But if you didn't pay for it, Well, if you are paying for it, then you can say, well, it's my car at least temporarily, unless I miss whatever payments. It's mine unless. So it deals with the payments, the bill. There's a lot of rent-to-own places. Is this your couch? Is this your sofa? You may say, well, yeah, because someone gave it to me. Or you may say, well, yeah, it's my sofa. I paid for it. Or if you did one of the rent-to-own things, you may say, well, it's mine as long as I keep making payments on it. But it all does with the bill. So when people say, I don't think anyone can know for sure they're going to heaven, their problem is twofold. They don't understand the price, the bill that's against them. And maybe they don't understand who paid the bill. So let's look at some things. The bill, first of all, Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Romans 3, 23, as we try to search to make people think. Romans 3, 23. The Bible says, for all have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay, so that's a debt against us. We've sinned. We've come short of God's glory. Notice with me in Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes 7. So some people don't realize the debt against them because of their sin. Ecclesiastes 7:20. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's a saying that's really common today. And that is, you know, maybe you apologize for something and someone will say, no, you're good. And I always think, no, I'm not. And sometimes people may say, how are you doing today? I'm doing good. Am I? Am I really good? There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1, 1 John 1. 1 John 1:8. We apologize to someone. Oh, I am so sorry. This or that. No, you're good. You're good. 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we what? Deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So number one, we know we're all sinners, but many people don't consider a lot of things sin that are sin. Therefore, well, we'll get to that in a minute. Let's go to 6:23. Okay, the payment for sin. Romans 6:23. The payment for sin. The Bible says here, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, we've talked about this many times, but it says the wages of sin is death. So when a person dies and goes to hell, they really are not paying for their sins, because if they were paying for their sins, that's given him the idea that, oh, well, someday the bill will be paid off. But that is not the case. These are wages. The wages of sin is death. So now, I don't know about you. I think I do know about you. But none of you at the end of the week goes to your boss and pays your boss for you working for him for 40 hours. It goes the other way, or whatever hours it is. The boss pays you. You don't pay the boss. He's giving you your wages. What you did this week, he's paying you. He's paying you wages. So the wages of sin is death. So we're not paying for those sins. We're getting paid because of our sins. We're getting the payment that we do have due because we have sinned And of course, apart from Christ, that's eternity in the lake of fire. And for any person ending up in hell, they are never going to pay for even one of their sins. They're going to be punished for all of their sins forever and ever and ever. So the wages of sin is death. Look in Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel 18. And because we are sinners, we can't pay for anybody else's sin. That's like asking a bankrupt man to pay off your loan. He can't. He has nothing to pay. Ezekiel 18:20. The soul that sinneth, it shall what? Shall die. Then it goes on to explain, the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So our righteousness does not help someone else, nor does someone else's sin condemn us. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's the wage. So God could have justly put Adam and Eve to death when they sinned. Notice in Genesis 2, God had warned Adam, Genesis 2:16. God had warned Adam that if he ate of the tree, that he would die. In Genesis 2:16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely what? Die. Well, they did eat that day. Genesis 3:6, they ate of that tree. Genesis 3:6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were what? Open. Shouldn't it say closed? Didn't God say that the day they ate, they would die? But the day they ate, verse 7, their eyes were opened. Well, opened to what? And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, God was merciful to them and allowed them to live. God said they would die that day. So they did die that day, but God didn't kill them physically that day, but they did die spiritually that day. And that's why in John chapter 3, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be what? Born again. So they died spiritually that day, they and we. Anyone that's going to heaven has to be born again spiritually. Now, God here is very gracious to them. And in verse 21, Genesis 3:21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now, where would God get coats of skins? Animals. Can you just take an animal's skin? I mean, sheep, you can cut wool off from them. But can you skin a sheep and have the sheep live? No. If you skin something, you're going to kill the animal. And normally, obviously, you'd kill the animal first. You wouldn't skin it alive. So can you imagine the first time? And at this point, remember that man, neither man nor animals ate other living creatures. If you look back in chapter 1 and verse 29, Genesis 1:29, God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for what? For meat. So verse 29, it's herbs and fruits. That was man's meat. That was man's food. What about the animals? Verse 30. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every what?
Green herb
for meat, and it was so. So all animals were not meat eaters before the flood, and man was not a meat eater before the flood. So There's none of this, African safari type videos where you see a lion take down a deer or some other animal, or a wolf taking down a deer. Adam and Eve never saw another person, because they were the only two at first. They never saw another person or animal killed. So can you imagine the first time Adam and Eve saw blood? Can you imagine they're watching God kill animals to clothe them? Now, some of you have pets, and you know how attached you get to pets. And you know, Adam and Eve, all of the animals would have been friendly. There was no fear. And so, can you imagine the sight of blood and then being clothed? I can't imagine then them having to wear those skins. I mean, how many of you could your pet, whatever it is, a dog, a cat, whatever, how many of you could ever put your animal down and, to remember it, make a coat out of its skin? You could never do that. You could never do that. Why? Because you would think of the pain, the death of your animal, your pet. I just can't imagine what a powerful picture this must have been to Adam and Eve of the guilt of their sin. And of course, animal blood did not forgive their sin. It only covered it. Notice in Leviticus 17. Leviticus 17. So these are truths that an unsaved person is ignorant about, or just refuses to believe it. The penalty, the guilt of their sin, the wages of their sin. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is what? The blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for what? Your souls. For it is what? The blood that maketh an atonement for what? The soul. So, but we know from the scripture that this was not forgiveness of sin, but only like writing a check. When you write a check and give it to someone, that's not money. It's a promissory note. It's nothing but a piece of paper in which you are promising with your signature that your bank has that amount of money in there that the store can get. It's not the real payment. The real payment is to come. And that's all this animal blood that was shed was only writing checks for the real payment that had to be made. Notice in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 and verse 4. Hebrews 10:4 says, for it is not possible that the blood of what? Bulls and of goats should what? Take away sins. The Bible says it's not possible. It's not possible to pay for a car with a check. If the bank does, if the car dealer doesn't get money, he's going to bring your piece of paper back. That's not the real payment. It's only promise of a real payment. So what was the real sacrifice? Well, let's read verse 4 again. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, that's referring to Jesus, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a what? A body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had what? No pleasure. God never took pleasure in any of those sacrifices. They were only promise of the payment to come. Verse 7, then said I, lo, I come. This is Jesus. I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. He's talking about the Old Testament prophecies. In the volume of the book, It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice an offering and burnt offerings, an offering for sin, thou wouldest not. Neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. This is Jesus speaking. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through what? The offering of what? The body of Jesus Christ. And then what does it say? Once for all. This is the truth that a person does not understand who says no one can be sure of heaven. Their problem is their bill hasn't been paid. Technically, the payment hasn't been applied to their account because technically the bill has been paid for the whole world. But the problem is they don't apply it to their account. They don't know how. They don't understand the application of it. When each month the church's internet bill is online, and so when I go in there, it's kind of, I don't know if it's QuickBooks or what, but I mean, you're actually getting into that company's like ledgers. And so it shows up there that a certain amount is due for the internet connection, and you have to check mark apply. You're applying the payment to this debt, this what is due. And so unsaved people have a problem with their bill, their sin bill. And they have not applied the payment to their account. It says right here, once for all, once for all. So let's look at 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2. We're trying to look how we can help people that answer. I don't think anyone can know for sure they're going to heaven. Well, when they're saying that, they do not understand the debt, the bill, the payment. 1 John 2, 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And who is that? Jesus Christ. And he is Jesus Christ the what? The righteous. That is of utmost importance. And he is a propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of what? The whole world. That's why I say, really, the payment has been made. But they, the people, haven't applied it to their account. What would happen if you got to retirement age and you found out somehow that there had been a house waiting for you for 40 years? 40 years ago, a house was built for you and gifted to you, but you didn't know anything about it. You would say what? Oh, if I only knew. A man showed us through his beautiful home yesterday and on a lake and could see both ends of the lake. And he described all of the fancy, innovative things that he has in his house. One of the things was instant hot water. And his son is a plumber, and so I thought he was going to say, well, he said, no matter what faucet you turn on in the house, there's instant hot water. And I thought he was going to say, well, my son put one of those instant little hot water heaters in, you know, the cupboard or vanity of, you know, under each sink. But he said, no. He said, there's the hot water line is the circuit in this house. It not only comes from the hot water heater, but it goes back to the hot water heater. And he said it's just a natural cold and hot flow constantly. No matter what faucet you turn on, there's instant hot water. He took us downstairs and showed us that his son had put a little pump on that pipe just in case it didn't flow, but he's never had to plug the pump in. It's just heat rises, cold goes down, and it just keeps circulating around and around. So, I mean, he really was, did a lot of study and research just to get the house of his dreams. Windows, insulation, I mean, there wasn't anything, it seemed like, that he hadn't thought about. But in eternity, why is it there's so many people that would never put that amount of research into knowing for sure they're going to heaven? Their problem is they don't understand the bill. 1 Peter 2, in verse 21. He also had a heated driveway. How would you like that? Wouldn't it be nice not to have to shovel your driveway? As the ice melts off? 1 Peter 2:21. It says, "For even here in 2 were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare what? Our sins in his own body on what? The tree, which is referring to the cross. That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." So they don't have this knowledge that their bill really has been paid, but if they don't apply it, they'll spend their whole lives not enjoying that, and they'll spend eternity with that unapplied to their account. Notice in Romans chapter 5. So may the Lord help us to somehow reach this multitude that immediately says, "I don't think anyone can know for sure you're going to heaven. The problem is they don't understand the bill." Romans 5:6. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for who?
The ungodly.
For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ what?
Died for us.
So, let's go to John chapter 3 and verse 12. So the Lord is explaining this to Nicodemus, that he needed to be born again if he was going to heaven. And John 3, 12. "If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" May God help us to somehow get through to people to help them understand. They know that car is theirs. That's why they go out and get in it, even if they still are making payments on it. They know at least temporarily the car is theirs, and they know it's theirs only because they've dealt with the financial issues about the car. The phone. Go get your phone. Well, they can call it their own phone because the bill has been dealt with, even though they may be in danger of losing it if they're on some type of plan and it was just a freebie. But in everything in life, they know that you have to deal with the debt. And so may God help us to somehow help them think. They know about earthly things, verse 12, but they don't comprehend heavenly things. In John chapter 3, let's, well, we are in John 3. Let's go to verse 15. that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. And the reason is because he came to pay the price. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So they don't understand the payment. They don't understand their debt. And then for some, they might understand it, but they don't want to repent. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved what? Darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So if someone does understand that Christ came and died on the cross for our sins, then why wouldn't they apply that to their account? Because they love their sin more than they love God. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil, what? Hateth the light. Neither, what? Cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. No, I'm not gonna come to Jesus. I'm not gonna get saved, because then my life would have to change. They don't want to leave their sin. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth, what? Cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So someone who truly wants to be saved is willing to confess it. Yes, I have sinned. I have done wrong. Jesus, I want you to cleanse me from my sin. There's absolutely no lasting joy and pleasure in any sin. It all brings bad things in the end. In Romans chapter 10, may the Lord help us to see through all the sayings that people have and try to get to the real issue. Sir, do you know for sure when you die you're going to heaven? The sir says, no, I don't think anyone can know that. It lets me know right there, this man doesn't understand his bill, the debt. He doesn't understand that actually that debt has been paid. But his problem is he hasn't applied it to his account. How do you get it applied? Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe where? In thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall what? Not be ashamed. In Ephesians 5, the Bible likens the church's relationship to Christ, so the Christian's relationship to Christ as marriage. Have you ever been to a wedding where the bride or the groom refused to be seen with the other? I mean, how would you even get married? I mean, could you imagine coming to a wedding ceremony here and either the bride or the groom being on the platform, but the other one is hiding behind the baptistry curtain? They didn't want to be seen with the bride or groom, whichever. You'd say, that's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. And even so, why would we be ashamed of the Lord? The one who bore the shame, the pain, and the loss of life for us. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. No, quite the opposite. When a couple gets married, they're not ashamed at all. They want to be with each other. They want to be close to each other. And as Christians, when our bill has been paid by the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood, when we have applied that to our account by faith trusting him, then we should want to be as close as we can to our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask for your help. Lord, everywhere we go, there are people that say or think no one can really know for sure they're saved and going to heaven. And Lord, we know that they don't understand and that they have a bill they cannot pay. And only pure and righteous blood can pay it. And only Jesus qualifies for that. And so, Father, please help us as we try to reach this world. Everything in life, they know that what is paid for is theirs. Lord, please open their hearts and understanding to realize that they are unsure of salvation because they have not applied the payment to their account. Lord, please help us to reach them before it's too late. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books, if you would, please. Let's turn to 307.